Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday morning. Don't forget, pregame show, 4.5 hours of coverage starting Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Yeah, 7 a.m., 7 to 9:30. And then the show live at George Jones downtown. I mean, 7 to 9:30 will be live, too. It'll just be here in our studios, but then the action goes downtown for the final 2 hours at George Jones. Second Avenue, Chris Sanders, Forever Titan, Floyd Reese, the GM, and Jared Stillman will be anchoring that coverage, talking about the Titans and the Bills. NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Will we have a little Chase and TD tonight from 6 to 8?
We will. Chase and TD tonight, 6 to 8. And
then, is it a Freaky Friday?
It is a Freaky Friday.
Okay, good.
It is a Freaky Friday.
I like Freaky Fridays.
What determines a Freaky Friday?
Teron. He just decides if it's Freaky Friday. So
that's why I asked, because he's used other names.
He's got names for
And you guys have, at times have been bumped to a different day.
We've been Wacky Wednesday, Manic Monday.
These Thursday night games mess up the rhythm.
Thirsty Thursday. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I think you just made that up. I don't think you've had a Thirsty Thursday.
No, that would just probably be me. That's what they used to call, well, and they may still call it that at the Sounds, but at Greer Stadium used to go to.
They used to do that?
The really? Thirsty Thursday.
They did.
I don't remember. Nobody remembers that. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Thirsty Thursdays?
They drank too much.
There's probably a reason they don't remember that.
That became kind of a honestly, I think it was a pain in the rear for the Sounds.
Oh, I can tell you. I heard some employees firsthand.
I didn't really want to say that, but it was. Oh,
we're
it was
we're enough removed. They were like, these people aren't here to watch the game.
No, they were just there to drink. And the lines were insane. The beer lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were literally just going there to drink.
I look back on, you know, some times that I had at Greer Stadium, and, you know, it was one of those things that it was so bad that it was just memorable. That, it was obviously time for a new place, and now they have a great ballpark, and is it First Horizon Park now? Has it officially changed names?
Yeah, I think so.
But, beautiful place over there. But there are times I'll be talking to somebody about a night we had at Greer Stadium. Just, it had some history. That's the best way to put it.
I had an umpire last weekend. Guy who was umping one of our games came up to me and he said, I just want to let you know you gave my son a baseball at a Sounds game at Greer Stadium a long time ago. I was like, really? He's like, it was probably, he's like 10, 12 years ago. He's like, he's never forgotten that. I was like, wow, that's cool. And then I started thinking about Greer Stadium. You know, I was like, man, it's a lot of memories.
It's a lot of games over there.
Some memories that weren't great, but like, man, this, what are they going to do with this dump?
I remember.
It's like the bathrooms that didn't work or they were flooded.
And then you were basically on a hill. So, I mean, you had like, you're walking through the concourse and you're kind of walking uphill and then you walk downhill. nothing was level.
It was a little hilly.
I remember one of the first times that I really interacted with you, Darren, was I think I was working here. I may have been an intern still, but you did an air guitar contest with my friend.
That's right. You told me that. Yeah. He won, right? He got picked, and so we were up on the dugout, or were we on the field?
You were on the field. No, how it happened was it was our night. It was 102.5 the game night or something. And I walk in, and I go up to Jeremy, or PD at the time, and I'm like, hey, this is my best friend Logan. And he goes, hi, Logan, I'm Jeremy. You're going to be doing the air guitar contest during the sixth inning or whatever it was.
I think that was the night I threw out the first pitch.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
That was fun.
Maddox was a little.
Yeah, I think I was going to say that had to have been 6-7 years ago.
Yeah. I don't even think he was a year old.
Yeah. So. Those are fun times. Willie, do you remember the time we got up in seventh inning stretch and danced on the dugouts? I think you were there that night we did that.
I danced on the dugout?
I think so, yeah. I think I'm lumping you in with me.
I'm not sure.
No?
I don't have a recollection of that.
Okay. Maybe you didn't. That was fun.
I'm not saying it didn't happen.
That may have been a Thursday night. Now that I think about it. By the way, I was telling Chase this. You know, when we were talking about the renderings for the stadium, we weren't sure what the capacity was. I found that info last night or yesterday. You know what it is? You remember the number I threw out?
That was a guess
at the time. That's what I thought it should be, the perfect number. That is the number, 35,000.
Okay. You know what? I drove by on my way to the arena last night. I drove right past the, you know, right past Nissan Stadium. I'm just eyeballing how close the football stadium is, and I'm going over the bridge that this stadium is supposed to be tucked in there between the two, you know, with the pedestrian bridge coming right in on, you know, right center or center, right field, wherever it goes. I just have a hard time thinking it could fit.
We'll see what they're going to do.
I mean, I thought it when I looked at the drawing, and then when I drove by the stadium, I'm like, you seriously think we can get a baseball stadium? A Major League Baseball stadium in this spot? I'd like somebody to show me.
Smart people have figured out that you can. Smarter than us.
Are you sure? I mean, I don't know these people.
They can do like...
Do you know these people?
Well, I mean, usually you have to have, you know, engineers.
I mean, I would think if you're going to put this up on a website...
I
would think, but...
Get in a room and blueprints and all that.
You know, I'm not claiming to be a landscaper or, you know, an architect or a ballpark maker or...
What if they did like, you know, they do a
Vanderbilt? It just looks like it wouldn't fit. Are they going to move the bridge over?
No, I don't think they're I don't believe they're going to move the bridge.
They're going to get a bunch of trucks and push Nissan Stadium and just move it
over
a few
inches. They're going to slide that over?
They're going to slide Nissan over to Top Golf.
Are there wheels?
It's going to be closer to Top Golf.
Are there wheels under there? You can slide it over a few feet?
The bridge is going to be scooted over.
We're going to need you to scoot over a little bit.
It's like the Sims. You can just move everything around.
Hey, I've seen houses get moved. You ever seen a house on blocks and then the next thing you know it's on a truck and going down the road?
Yeah.
I thought
My
about this,
though.
My uncle
lives in one.
Your uncle lives
in a house that got moved?
Yeah, it was one of those that, like, the pre-built that they bring in on two trucks and they put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Prefab?
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at that drawing, there's not just a ballpark, right? They got an office building over here.
No, no.
You got a little marina over here.
There's a 12-story building.
Yeah, you got all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, all of that's going to go in there too, besides the park, in this space?
It's going to be like the Hawk in Vanderbilt Stadium. They'll kind of connect. You can share a concourse.
But the Hawk is, you know, 5,000 seats or whatever. This is a Major League ballpark.
Max is like, no, it's not.
5,000?
I think if you know, standing room and I mean, absolute maximum.
I think the listed capacity
3600.
Is 30. Yeah, 3,600, and that's with standards.
5,000. I think you just created a lot of space over there.
I'm trying to be generous.
Jack on the parking structures.
Gonna stand on top of the monster.
I think they should let people stand up on the football stadium. They won't let people do that.
I've watched practices from up there before. It's a really cool view.
We used to the pitchers who were not in the game used to sit up there. To collect the foul balls that would get fouled into the stadium.
And you get free ice cream for everyone you bring back, right?
I was called upon to pinch hit from up there. The coach goes, Donick! And he didn't realize I was on the foul ball duty. I had to run down with my turf shoes to get to the batter's box. I didn't make it in time. The third out was made before I got there.
I see what you're saying, because you're talking about having a college baseball Hall of Fame right there.
Right.
You're talking about a 12-story
There's a ton of stuff
building.
In there.
A 4,000-seat covered concert venue, which is interesting. Retail and restaurants. A 20-story residential tower.
Yes.
A 20-story hotel condo tower.
Now, you've driven that road. You go over that bridge, and you're telling me all that's going to go in there? I'm just telling
apparently,
you, drive by there. Drive
apparently,
by
they're
there,
saying yes.
Drive by there, and you tell me that you think all of that's going to fit in there. I'm hard-pressed. Again, total amateur. I didn't go do the measurements or anything. It just looks like it's a tight fit. If it could fit at all.
I hear you, but I kind of feel like they've talked to the people
would
that would know.
I hope so.
I can't imagine they're like, hey, let's just kind of make up our own little deal and plop it right here, and we'll figure out later if it works or not.
I might be a little sensitive because my neighborhood's back there. I use that road a lot. Like, am I going to be able to get home?
No.
I guess not.
You have to drive through. They're going to build a tunnel under the stadium.
We might have to do that.
That would be kind of cool,
actually.
That's an idea.
Underground
That would make it
stuff.
Fit easier.
They've talked about underground. It's hard in Nashville, though.
Yeah.
Like, underground. Like, everything's rock.
Yeah.
Yep.
You don't want to be
not
like
the Rock.
I don't think we can do like Edmonton. Don't they have like basically a lot of the city under a
series of tunnels?
Yeah, Winnipeg. But that was above. Yeah. Edmonton, isn't it below? Was it Edmonton you said that's got a lot of basically a lot of stuff underneath the city?
Winnipeg's got.
Winnipeg too?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was, well, we saw all the connecting.
They got them both.
Okay, so they're underground too. We didn't do any underground stuff.
Yeah. All the most of the Canadian cities have at least some underground. Winnipeg's got the most that I've seen.
Hmm. Atlanta has. Yeah. Does they still have that? I have a years, a long yeah. time ago.
The underground?
Yeah. Yeah. Do they
like,
still
like
have
a mall
that?
Under the, yes. I don't know what they have now.
Restaurants, bars.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's some version
Is
of it.
Still functioning?
I haven't been there in a long time because you used to go through there to get to the shuttle to take you to Turner Field.
Yeah.
The Ted.
Having a little trouble with Mike Renner. I don't know what's going on. Not answering, but hopefully we can make contact with him. More coming here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, let me tell you about Lee Company as we get things started here. 567-1000. Last night, opening night in Smashville down at Bridgestone Arena. Lee Company, a great partner, sponsor of the Nashville Predators, sponsor of our radio coverage of the Nashville Predators with Darren and the guys getting it started last night, Pete and Hal and Chase and Company. When you go in, you'll see the display of Lee Company. When you go down to a Predators game or a concert or anything down at Bridgestone Arena, our family, too, uses Lee Company at home. And we use the home maintenance plan that I tell you about all the time. I've been telling you now for several years, and it continues to work well for us because they'll give you the four annual calls to come in and check your systems in your home. And they'll find the little problems before they become big problems. I'm talking about plumbing, electrical, heating, and cooling. And yes, the weather is going to break at some point in the coming weeks. Check your heater. This is a great way to get started. Jump on board with the home maintenance plan. Have them come out and check your heater. Make sure it's working properly. 567-1000 or LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
This may be premature because we're not ready for this yet, but maybe I need to put myself on the list. A little air on me. I could have sworn. And thanks to Trevor, our buddy in Milwaukee who listens to the show. And we really appreciate him. He tweeted at me and said, the Blackhawks and Flyers, when they drop the puck in about an hour and a half, is over in the Czech Republic. I don't know why I thought it was in Switzerland. I could have sworn that they were in Switzerland.
The Flyers had an exhibition in Switzerland, but
I
guess they were crossing borders.
Ah, so they would do a preseason game in Switzerland, because I knew I saw that they were over there and Gritty was making chocolate in Switzerland, and so I just assumed they were playing this game in Switzerland, but they played a preseason game in Switzerland, and then they're playing a regular season game in Czech Republic. Wow.
Yeah, well, they were playing
a lot of travel.
They were playing, as we say here in Tennessee, Los Ann, which is not how it is said in Switzerland.
Yeah.
But yeah, no publicity for these events anymore.
So the Blackhawks and Flyers in the Czech Republic.
So. And Rays Astros game one. I think at the same
o'clock.
Time.
Yeah, 1 yeah. o'clock start.
That's right.
Big
today
sports
isn't,
afternoon.
Today, all four, today. Yeah. Four games, right? Today on the baseball front.
Yep.
Today is a very, very active sports day.
It's what I'll be doing in between this show and Chase and TD is watching some baseball.
Twins, Yankees.
That's one of the night games, yep.
And then both of the Game 2s. Both of the NL games are on 94.9 Game 2 today, by the way. Braves start at 3.
Hey, this is a really good sports day.
We'll get one of the baseball games starting before we even get out of here. Isn't
there
1 o'clock?
Yep. So we can have a little hockey on one channel and baseball on the other.
That'll be great.
Live sports.
Thank you, Trevor, for the heads up. Appreciate it, man.
Did you guys see who was at Titans practice yesterday? Who Mike Vrabel introduced to the team.
Did I see a pretty good running back?
Pretty good running back.
In the past?
Yep.
Used to have a tearaway jersey?
He did.
Still couldn't bring him down?
Yep. This was actually his first visit to Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah. Earl Campbell.
Wow. Man, he was awesome.
I was looking at the Titans website. It was pretty cool to see some pictures of Earl Campbell interacting with Derrick Henry. Because, he obviously was the Oilers, never played for the Titans, but still a part of the franchise.
How is his health? I know he was really struggling for a while.
That was years ago.
He was having to really work hard to stay mobile. I'm hoping he's made inroads there. Did that get talked about at all? I haven't seen
anything on that. He did say Jim Wyatt's piece has a quote. Campbell says, "Where's that guy Mariota? Come on over here." "No matter what nobody says, I think you are the leader of this football team."
He had some hilarious commercials back in the day at his height. Remember, mm-hmm. he did the skull, the pinch between my cheek and gum. He and a bunch of other athletes had some.
Pretty cool, though.
Remember the one he said, he goes, "I think I'll play some touch." Remember that? Yeah. He follows the girl down the beach?
Yep.
That's awesome. He was, man, at his height, he was awesome.
First pick overall.
Should we have a little vintage Earl Campbell from back in the day?
Love you. The love you blue.
Yeah, let's see what Max has pulled up here on short notice here. It's the NFL Films edition. Okay.
Sounds
one
like
more
it.
Coming. I can hear the crowd. What year was this, Max? 79, 78, 80, right around there somewhere.
Well, 79 was his best touchdown year. He had 19 touchdowns in 79, and 80 was his best rushing year, where he was on the doorstep of 2,000.
How many carries? Over 400?
Nope. Never had over 400 in his career in a season.
Close to it, though?
373 was the most, and that was in the 1980 season. He rushed for 1,934 yards.
Only 13 touchdowns. Wow.
Only? That's still pretty good.
I know.
That game... Howard Cosell went nuts. They beat the Steelers, or was it the Dolphins they beat that night? I think it was the Dolphins.
That was the Dolphins, four touchdowns on November 20th, 1978.
Yeah, the sound quality wasn't great on that, but that was a memorable... Back when Monday Night Football was the show, you know, it was such a big feature. Now it's so splintered off because you have the Thursday night game, you got the Sunday night game, you still have Monday night. So that feature game that Monday Night Football was at the time...
Yeah.
He had some great games on that. They went to back-to-back AFC title games. They just couldn't beat the Steelers. They just were not quite good enough to beat the Steelers. He's probably one of the greatest players who didn't make the Super Bowl. Dan Fouts was in that. They weren't
good enough to beat him in the 70s? Were the Steelers good in the 70s?
They were pretty good. They were pretty good. It's just like Dan Fouts and the Chargers. They had some great teams around that time. Just couldn't quite break through.
Well, there's a... couple, like three dynasty teams, like the Steelers and the Cowboys and the 49ers, that cost a lot of other good teams chances to win big.
Well, the 70s, in a nutshell, it's the Raiders, the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Cowboys, and the Vikings, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They tie up a huge percentage of all of the championships and Super Bowl appearances, right? The Vikings got beaten in the Super Bowl a bunch, but they were always there.
80s was a little bit different.
80s, more 49ers was
Bears,
the dominant team.
Bears.
But the Bears only went once.
It was but still. It was a smaller window because the 49ers felt like it was an entire decade, right? Steelers was a decade. The 70s, Raiders,
I would put the Giants in the 80s above the Bears for overall performance in the 80s.
That's probably fair.
And, you know, 1990, they won it. But
they won two Super Bowls in that decade.
The second was 1990, so it's just at the beginning of the 90s. But they got good at the start of the 80s when Lawrence Taylor got there. And so the Bears, you know, they had that real good window there, but they only won it once. They probably squandered a couple of chances. You kind of get bummed if you're a Bears fan that they only won it once because of how good they were in the 1 year. In 85. But the 49ers were clearly the best in the 80s.
You had what, Bears 85, Giants 86?
Yeah.
That sounds 49ers.
The Broncos were constantly around, but couldn't win the Super Bowl.
Couldn't win it.
Yeah. Redskins were pretty good throughout the 80s, I would say.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, they won.
Consistently good.
How many? They won a couple three Super under Bowls. Joe Gibbs, right?
They won three. One of them was 91. So that was it. Would at the edge of the decade there.
And then which year was it?
Remember, they won with three different quarterbacks. Theismann, Doug Williams, and then Mark Rippon, which is rare.
We talk about these great teams and no memorable Super Bowls. You know why? Because there were great teams and they just destroyed everybody. Super Bowls were not memorable.
To a large degree, that's true.
So many blowouts.
What year was it that the Redskins won the Super Bowl, but it was the scrub year? It was the strike? Didn't they?
That was 87. Yeah. For 3 weeks, they played with the replacement players, which was a whole saga in itself. But you know what, Darren? What did they not have back then?
High-definition television?
Well, that's true. That's true. But
Twitter.
What else?
Twitter.
They did not
have replay.
They did not have free agency, and they did not have a salary cap. So the teams kept their same team, right? You kept whoever you wanted. There was nowhere anybody could go.
Pre-salary cap did not have what we have today where, every year you feel like at least your team has a chance.
Which makes you... and say it's amazing what they
those decades get. People weren't talking about parity.
No, well, the schedule was still kind of the same as they do. You know, if you finished fifth, you played the fifth place schedule. First, you played the first place schedule. You got to pick first, but they didn't have the salary cap.
Yeah.
Did you? Since you guys remember both eras, I don't remember the pre-salary cap era. But since you have been a part of both eras, do you like how it is now, or did you like the old days?
Oh, I like it now. I think it's more.
It's about how you run your team.
Don't you think being on a level playing field is good? I mean, I've always had a problem with baseball. I don't like
it. It got bad.
Look at it this year. I mean, it was literally, this is a perfect time to the haves and the have nots. I mean, how many teams lost 90 games this year? A dozen?
But it's not because they don't have the ability revenue wise anymore. The revenue sharing has helped a ton. I mean, you have Tampa Bay and
right,
the Oakland
Rays
are
the
among the lowest revenue generating teams that there are, and they can win. Brewers are not a high revenue team,
but haves and have nots is not good for a sport where you've got feel like half the league is haves and half the league is have nots.
You can't control
if a team wants to tank and wants to. I don't think you can do much about that, which is I think what's happening more in baseball as for the reason why some of these teams are that bad. Like it's not like the Tigers don't have any money.
I mean, the NBA, right? You have tanking.
Well, they used to spend it.
They used to spend a lot, but that's what they got themselves into this hole.
And they did a lot of winning.
They won, yeah, and they overpaid to try to keep some guys, and then they all got old fast.
Miguel Cabrera. Poof.
Yeah, what happened?
When's the last time we talked about Miguel Cabrera?
Yeah. Well, how about, like, Jordan Zimmermann, who they paid huge money? What was his? I mean, you want to see some ugly stats? Look at Jordan Zimmerman's number. That guy used to be good.
Mm-hmm. What'd they pay Dontrell Willis?
Dontrell Willis.
I have no
idea.
Who
is now where? Fox?
Yeah.
Dontrell Willis. I had thought about Dontrell.
Let's come back and talk about, yet again, another sign of it. And what does the league have to do anything or not? I don't know if they can do anything, but just, again, another example, yet another example of NFL players. When somebody's mad, they're just like, I'm not going to practice. I'm mad. There's been another example. I don't know if a lot of you saw it. It's in the NFC, Purple People Eaters. We'll talk about it. On the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sam Darnold was practicing this week, but it does not look like he's going to suit up and play. He has been ruled out for their game against the Eagles. The Jets coming off a bye week. Darnold has been dealing with mono. But it doesn't look like he's going to get the start. It'll be Luke Falk will get the nod for the Jets. Yikes.
Someday, we're going to look at the Pro Football Reference and say, Luke Falk started a couple games.
Yeah.
The same way we say Matt Mock started a game for the Titans.
I think it would fall under the same umbrella. Desperation.
Did Rusty Smith start a game? I know he played in a game.
Oh, yeah.
He started a couple games? Yeah.
He started at least one, and it didn't go well.
Was that the game against the
It was
Texans?
On the road.
Wasn't the Texans?
Might have been the Texans.
I feel like that. That comes to mind.
It was not pretty.
It was not good. I don't think they – did they get shut out?
They did.
Got shut out.
They
did. Also, it looks like Saquon Barkley getting ever so close.
Not ruled out.
He's not ruled out. I mean, that's insane. He's not ruled out. Looks like Melvin Gordon, they're saying, should be in the lineup and could start this game for the Chargers. He was.
That's good for some fantasy players.
Yes. Yep. So I thought I would pass that along. So let's talk about the newest layer of player not happy. Still got the whole Jalen Ramsey saga. We certainly know what Antonio Brown has done. This new movement that we've been talking about of, I get mad. I'm just going to sit or trade me. I want out of here. I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. I think they've probably been watching these NBA players, and it's a little bit different. But for whatever reason, the NFL players are deciding, I don't like my situation, so I'm going to kick and scream till I get out of here. And the newest one is Stephon Diggs. Have you guys seen this? Kind of a really awkward exchange with the media yesterday. He said, most rumors are true.
Right.
What? Most rumors are true.
And then apparently he
I'm not going to talk about it.
He
but most rumors
everybody.
Are true.
Zimmer won't talk about it.
He's not happy.
But he hasn't requested a trade.
He's not happy. Most rumors are true. And the rumors are that he wants out.
Right.
I flippantly said to Chase last night, okay, well, then why doesn't Jacksonville trade Ramsey to Minnesota? Minnesota trade Diggs to Jacksonville.
Straight up, move on.
So can the league do anything about this?
No.
No, and they – I mean, honestly,
and
I don't
and
think
what
they
do we, And what do we think about this? The minute somebody gets mad, they're like, I want out. I'm done.
Yeah. It's
– NBA's been dealing with it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But now it's filtered into the NFL, and it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. Now you have to have a status, right? Think about the guys we're talking about. Jalen Ramsey, arguably the best at his position. Antonio Brown, arguably the best at his position. Stephon Diggs is right up there. I mean, he is a tremendous talent at wide receiver. So you have to have clout. You have to have status. But is this a good thing? And well, what is going to make them happy? Is it because his quarterback stinks? Is it Adam Thielen gets more targets than him? What is it?
Well, I think some of it's Thielen was mad about the quarterback, not being able to make throws. I think we're seeing that Kirk Cousins, that deal he signed with Minnesota, they're starting to regret it, whether they admit it or not. It's not working out. The thing with the NBA, though, is you end up with super teams. You end up with these five or six teams that are there every year. I don't want that in the NFL. It goes back to what we were just talking about with free agency. I mean, you like parity. The NBA, you get guys that are complaining and they get moved or they want to go play with their buddies. And then you have, Anthony Davis going to L.A. to play with LeBron.
But the Pelicans tried to do the right thing, right, and say, you're not going to do that to us. So we're not going to just – but they got burned.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What do you do if you're a team?
Well, and that's
– like, what are the Jags doing with Ramsey? What are they going to do with him? What are you going to just have him stand on the sidelines?
You're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
It's a nightmare.
Because you don't want a guy that doesn't want to be there, right? And if Jalen Ramsey is like, I hate the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't want to be here, that's going to create, some stuff in the locker room.
Also creates a list of teams that say, you know what? I don't want any part of that guy.
Sure.
I'm not going to give you a plug nickel for that guy. Somebody else might want to trade for him. Now, Diggs is trying to explain himself here. He's just basically saying, I'm frustrated. He's certainly not the first wide receiver to do that, but you can't skip practice, man. Come on.
That's the new thing.
Keep going to work, everything will work out.
I'm going to practice.
Eventually, you'll get the passes thrown to you. Eventually.
Well.
But the thing is,
he's not being targeted as much, so he's frustrated. Okay. Keep going to practice and keep playing and keep plugging.
Well, I think a lot of them are frustrated the quarterback.
Not every game can be a game where it's like, okay, we're going to give Stephon 20 chances and we're going to give Darren 20 chances and Chase will get 20 chances. This is not how the game works.
Right.
You got to get first downs. You got to get the ball. I don't understand why people don't realize this sometimes.
Let me take this a step further.
You're not
going
to win every game. Not everything is, hunky-dory all the time.
Would you two
go through struggles.
Would you two agree that talent in all sports, but in this situation, the NFL, is probably the best that it's been ever. I mean, it gets better and better every year. You have more players coming out of college that, you know, that you maybe you haven't heard of or you have, and then they're performing in the NFL. There are a lot of talented players, is what I'm saying.
No, I don't buy that.
This has been the case for a while, right?
I think the rules and the system allows them to shine more because it's allowing them to open up the game.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think the talent level is any greater.
But you're seeing more production.
I mean, there have been stars always. There have always been superstar players. I think the game is allowing them to have a bigger star because the numbers are inflated, because the rules have changed, and they're allowed to do more. And so I think it enhances their profile because of how the game is played. Is that fair?
That's fair. But because of that, the player is looking at his numbers going, okay, well, I'm really good. So I should have more clout. And I don't like this situation, so I'm going to be able to show you that, hey, look how good I am. I want to get what I want. So it's almost like you're entitling these players more because of what you just said, that the systems are inflating the numbers and all of that. But these players think that they have more power, and in some ways they do.
Do you know what else is entitling them more?
Money?
Yep.
The contracts are higher?
Contracts are higher. Everybody's getting more money, more freedom. Right, it changes your makeup.
There's no doubt
that Antonio Brown over time changed with the more money he made and the bigger contracts he got. There's no doubt.
I think there has to be a belief on a lot, or it's a reality, right? You have to fight to make the money while you can make it. There's no guarantees, right? Once you sign the contract, it's not guaranteed other than the portion that they guarantee up front, right? But every NFL player knows that the window could close quickly, right? So if you don't have the production, you won't make the money. That's a reality. But you have to balance that with wanting to be a winning player, right? It just seems like the Patriots don't have this issue, right?
How is that?
They don't have this issue. Because they just get rid of those guys.
Yeah, they just walk away.
Right, but it doesn't affect them. Like, other teams are scared to do it because it affects them. Like, look at the Steelers, right? They had two major pain in the you-know-what, two headaches, two incredibly talented players, and they finally got rid of them. And how, look at them.
They get anything for
them.
They
just got their first win against the Bengals.
Another quarterback got hurt.
Roethlisberger's hurt, so that factors in.
But they've been a pretty consistent winner over a long period of time, the Steelers. I just wonder what happened with those guys.
But they didn't go to the playoffs last year. And they had Roethlisberger. And what if they go 6-10 this year? Like, how does that affect them? Yeah. But the Patriots, that's what I'm saying. It never gets to them.
Pretty remarkable.
I wish I had an answer for you, but I don't. I mean, and on top of all that, the quarterback is how old? 42? I mean, he still plays a level that nobody expects him to play. Everybody's waiting for the game where, there he is. He's old.
I think, too, wouldn't you say that some teams are probably less willing to draft guys? If that type of personality shows up in all the research you do, like,
nope.
I think I'm staying away from those guys.
Joe Mixon to the Bengals, still drafted. Tyreek Hill.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Chiefs.
Those are different issues. Off the field issue, you can have some terrible things that happen off the field, but be a great team guy, right? You can. And you can be a terrible team guy and be fine off the field and not be in any trouble off the field.
Like T.O.
Those are completely different things.
You said, though,
you could be a great teammate and a terrible person who's got all kinds of issues and problems off the field.
Yeah, but what were you saying teams are doing differently? Because I thought you were saying that teams are not.
Well, don't you think that the characteristic of, you know, the sort of, I guess let's define it generally in Diggs' case here. And Diggs has been a good player. I've never heard Diggs to pop off like this before. He's been in the league for a while. This surprises me that this happens now. But the characteristic of sort of a me first, I got to get mine. I'm gonna moan and groan if I don't get the ball. Sometimes you can probably find that character trait when you're doing your research on guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some guys can fool you.
Well, especially now, because you go look at Twitter. Okay. I mean, you can see guys tweeting about, you know, I'm not getting the ball. I'm not getting, you know what I mean? It's everywhere.
It's usually deleted the next day.
Well, you still find it.
It's like, what are they, they ever think about that? Like, why are you going to tweet something that you know darn well somebody's going to get in your ear and be like, oh, that was really dumb. You shouldn't have done that. And then you're going to have to delete it. Like, how come they can't figure that out on the front end before they hit
listen
send?
To Herm, the don't press send.
I know.
It's pretty simple. Good philosophy.
Mookie, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I was just listening to your theory on you don't know why the Patriots can get around that little phenomenon. And I think it's the same reason why we've kind of given Belichick this genius status. And he's a very smart coach, and we kind of overlook his rudeness. In press conferences, he says little. We kind of laugh that off. But if you don't win and you don't have, you know, pelts on the wall, then it's called what it is, being rude, obnoxious. So kind of like Popovich. We do the same thing with Popovich. And I think the Patriots have become a destination that players are willing to go to win a championship. And that whole Patriot waiting has been blown up because they've actually won doing it. And so players will take less to go there and be a part of that whole Brady mystique and Belichick mystique. And when you got six titles, you can afford to take risk because you got pelts on the wall. So I think that's the reason why. And I kind of hate it because Belichick's great. But some of the stuff he does to reporters and the press is just it's just out of line. Sometimes Popovich gets away with it too. But, I mean, you could have coaches that are marginal, average, or just bad, and we call them what they are. But, you know, when you win, you know, it still doesn't give you an excuse to be, you know, a jerk.
You're preaching to the choir. Good stuff, Mookie. Thank you. We could not agree
more. It's an interesting thing because you don't have to be the friendliest guy to be a brilliant coach that seems to have everybody buying in. Mm-hmm. Now, the Patriots have – there's plenty that's been written about the Patriots that it's not all – fun, right? Some people don't really enjoy playing there, but it's an effective way to be a good team, and they don't tolerate somebody not coming to practice and saying, I need the ball more.
Yeah. Bills head coach Sean McDermott saying today that quarterback Josh Allen remains in concussion protocol. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour next.
Could we be the Supremes?
No.
No.
Can we harmonize a little bit? Probably not.
No.
That would not go well.
That would be quite insulting to them.
What was the motivation of the Motown fix there, Max? Going old school.
I'm just spinning the records
spinning
back
records
here.
Records back here. DJ Max.
You never know what is going to come out of the computers next.
It is a wild card.
I just see where it takes me, honestly.
So I told you that Sean McDermott says quarterback Josh Allen is still in concussion protocol. In order for him to play Sunday versus the Titans, he must be cleared by tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock our time tomorrow.
So it's looking Matt Barkley-ish because he hasn't practiced all week, right? Mm-mm. That would be hard.
You talking about Allen?
Allen. I mean, just he hasn't practiced all week to roll out there on Sunday. That would be a tough thing to ask him to do. Not that it's never been done before, but second year guy, got to think long term a little bit, right?
It's a pretty nasty hit, which the Patriots have said, hey, there's nothing to see here. Saquon Barkley has officially been listed as out for Sunday, so
that would have been nuts.
Barkley and Darnold were kind of teasing everybody, and everyone was like, whoa, are they going to play? No, they have both been ruled out. Now, Melvin Gordon, on the other hand, will be playing. So how does that change this game?
I don't know if it changes. I think the Titans have been leaning that way, right?
Well, I understand, but that changes the game. I mean, Josh Allen, as we talked about earlier in the week, especially, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit, he doesn't get a lot of praise, but there's a drop-off, but he's not under center.
I agree. We discussed that yesterday. He's not lit up the world, but he's got the capability of running, number one. He's got a big arm. He can make the big throws. Might be a little more mistake prone, but I think you're going to a guy who's got more limited tools in Barkley. He is more the quintessential backup with his tools.
Well, the thing that worries me, though, the Titans, when they have to play a quarterback like Barkley,
they haven't done well.
Yeah, it's like they underestimate. And, I mean, the same could be said for Allen. You know, they like, he's not very good. So, I just, you know, I don't want to see that. But it does change things. It changes the offense for the Bills. I mean, it's you change that with any time you have a different quarterback in there. So, I just, I think that knowing this week that Allen was in the protocol, I think the Titans have prepared like it could be Barkley. They've probably prepared at times like it could be Allen, you know, be ready for both. But, now, I am interested to see what happens. I think it's going to be Barkley, I think, at this point.
I think the first thing that would be important, and this would have been the case even if Allen were playing, but don't let him run. Last year, in the loss, LeSean McCoy had a good game. He ran hard. He got some yards. And that took the pressure off of Allen. Allen didn't have a great game. He made just enough plays to get them the 13 points. I mean, that was the most frustrating loss of the year, I would say. Other than the last game, the disappointment of the Mariota thing, all of the injuries.
And, yeah,
you didn't have great expectations going into that game, right? You were disappointed that was the situation, but at the time,
the Bills game
had to be the most frustrating, right?
No doubt.
Especially the way it was played, too. They had so many chances to win. But remember, LeSean McCoy, he had a good game. If you can't let Frank Gore, who seems to play well against the Titans every time, give them life, because that makes Barkley's job a lot easier. You want to put Barkley in positions where he's got to make plays.
Well, speaking of that, Bills running back Devin Singletary is still listed as questionable, dealing with a hamstring injury. He's been out for the last two games, and it looks like it's going to be Frank Gore again. And I've got a Frank Gore question for pick six.
Do you?
Yes.
Ooh.
I would love that. Can we find Frank Gore's numbers against the Titans? I would love to.
Over, under on his rushing yards.
Okay.
I've got it around what he's averaging this year.
And it's ageless
really not,
wonder.
And it's really not fair because the first game of the season was all Devin Singletary, right? So he didn't really do much. And since Singletary's been out, his numbers have been quite inflated. But we'll have that in pick six. We'll come back. Hour number three. Remember, you just made the list as normally at noon. Probably going to shift that around. We should have Lorenzo Neal join us in studio to kick off the third hour, and then you just made the list. After that, pick six in the final hour. More coming here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday on ESPN 102.5 The Game.